The Spectator magazine is home to wonderful writing, insightful analysis, and unrivaled books and arts reviews. Subscribe today for just £12 and receive a 12-week subscription in print and online, along with a free £20 John Lewis or Waitrose voucher. Go to spectator.co.uk/voucher.
Hello and welcome to Coffee House Shots. I'm Lucy Dunn and today I'm joined by Fraser Nelson and Katie Bowles. It's been a turbulent week in Scottish politics and First Minister Humza Yousaf seems unable to catch a break. In the last 48 hours we've seen the breakdown of the SNP Green coalition, a rather angry press conference by the Greens, multiple no confidence votes being lodged and resignation fears sparked after Humza Yousaf pulled out of a talk at Strathclyde Uni today. We've just heard that he will be giving an announcement in Dundee on affordable housing. But Katie, can you tell us a little bit more about how exactly Humza Yousaf and the SNP has got to this point and also what's going on with all these votes of no confidence?
Yeah, I think it's fair to say that Humza Yousaf is facing the biggest crisis of his leadership to date. And it feels as though yesterday on the podcast, we were talking about, you know, well, he must have really thought about this when he pulled out the agreement with the Greens. And he must have thought about the different places this could go. But you look at what's happening now and you do just get the sense that I think events are spiralling outside of his control. So you've had a few developments as of this morning. I mean, I think, you know, he pulled out of a speech at university. As you say, he's now going to give a different speech. But I think things like that just always add to a sense that you're not in control of things. You're having to tear up your schedule. Then you have what happened last night, which is, yes, we knew the Scottish Conservatives were going to table a vote of no confidence in the First Minister. The development last night was the Greens coming out and saying that they would vote against Humza Yousaf, so voting with effectively the unionist coalition of the Lib Dems, the Tories, Labour. And that means all of a sudden the most important person in Scottish Parliament is Ash Regan, the former leadership rival to Humza Yousaf. She did not do particularly well in that contest. And she's been pretty outspoken and critical. She, of course, is in the ALBA party. She's very close to Alex Salmond. And we're expecting later today her to come up with her list of demands for her to spare Humza the embarrassment of losing this vote. Then, upping the ante even further, we now have Anna Sawa, the leader of the Scottish Labour Party, coming out and saying, yes, we've got this vote of no confidence in Humza Yousaf, but we're going a step further and we want to have a vote of no confidence in the Scottish government. Now, this is upping the stakes because unlike the vote of no confidence in Humza Yousaf, which is embarrassing, would raise questions about his leadership, it's non-binding. If you have a majority voting no confidence in the SNP government, the government collapses. And therefore, it's potentially harder to get some on board in terms of, you know, we don't yet know if the Greens would move to voting to bring down the government. They have not got to that point. And also, we need to see how these conversations go. And also, there's a question of, can they get some to abstain in this vote, as opposed to, you know, might not be that they'll vote for the SNP, but could you get down the numbers that way? But I think you put it all together and it feels as though there's a lot of chaos, I think. And I think repeated talk of, is he going to step down before he is pushed? I think there's been a bit of kickback on that today. So there's lots of talk of he's considering his position. You now have SNP sources coming out and saying, no, he's going to fight on. But that is not going to slow down, I think, the speculation.
And Fraser, you've written your Telegraph column this week on the chaotic scenes taking place north of the border. You write about how if Yousaf were to go, his one-time leadership rival Kate Forbes is the heir apparent. But you also add that it makes no sense for her allies to make a move just now. Why is that the case?
Because the SNP is going to lose 20 of its 43 seats of next general election, or 20-ish. Now, that's going to be a bad result. And if you're Kate Forbes, one of her supporters, then you want to wait until after this. Similarly, if you're an SNP member, you would want, if there's going to be a change of leader, for that new leader to not be tarnished with the scene of a Westminster defeat. That same logic would mean that, similarly, if you're Labour or Tory, then you'd want to force the SNP's hand. You'd want to try to get as much mud flung on the new leader as possible. The funny thing is that we are used to, in London anyway, that leadership speculation leading fairly quickly to, you know, a snap general election that Theresa May called, or getting rid of a leader, which the Tories have tended to do every non-Olympic year, pretty much. But it's difficult for Scots to do the same in Holyrood. The Holyrood system is tougher. I mean, he can lose this no confidence vote next week and still carry on as First Minister. A confidence motion of the government, of course, that's different, but the Greens will probably back him there unless it suits them to have an election. And also, the SNP doesn't have a similar tradition of regicide. The Conservatives are probably Europe's leaders in regicide. I think some parties like Labour and the SNP are just simply not particularly good at it. I think they do have a very strong candidate in Kate Forbes. I think she, even though she's only 34, I think she's shown more judgment and leadership than Youssef. And had the police investigation into the SNP's finances be launched earlier than it was, she probably would have won. I mean, she ended up with 48% of the vote. So that was pretty close, given that she was running against the SNP establishment's candidate. But I think that it probably would suit the SNP's enemies to keep Hamza in place, sort of wriggling in agony, for a while longer. That's why I don't really expect him to go next week, nor do I really expect him to quit. For a while, it looked like he could be Alex Salmond's slave. You know, if Ash Reagan, who defected the Alba Party, she is now coming up with a list of demands, because if she were to back him in the confidence vote, he'd have the numbers he needed. And if you're in hoc to any one politician, that's a pretty weak position to be in, especially if that politician is in a party run by Alex Salmond, who will be delighting in tormenting the man he now refers to as Hamza the Brief. If it was Salmond or resignation, I can see why Hamza might choose resignation. But as things stand, I think he'll find another way through.
I think there's an interesting point there as well on the Scottish Greens. They've faced backlash from their own party membership over the potential to back the Tories with this no confidence vote on Hamza Youssef. And we've already seen that the Greens do respond quite a lot to the moods in their party membership. That was why they wanted to have this emergency general meeting on the future of the Boot House agreement in the first place. And there's a thought that they might either lend their votes to the Labour motion and the no confidence vote against the Scottish Government, or it was suggested this morning on the radio that Lorna Slater might be up and open for more discussions with Hamza Youssef about the future of the SNP government and backing when it comes to his own no confidence vote. It'd be interesting to keep an eye on that over the next few days.
I have to say, I've never worked out why the Greens were so angry. They got a lot out of this coalition, if you ask me. They only had sort of six MSPs, you know, a fraction of the SNP, and the policies that they got in return. And of course, you know, they ditched the 2040 targets, 2030 targets, sorry, net zero, which was not particularly achievable anyway. But I imagine that when the Green temper dies down, they will see that they've got so much more to gain by keeping the SNP government in place, and which is why I do think that this will look different when tempers adjust.
Though I suppose, I think that, you know, what is the point of a party? And if you are the Green Party, almost your mere point of existence is to effectively make sure that you are getting ready for a net zero future. And you do slightly think back to the Lib Dems and tuition fees, and sometimes these policies are what see your grassroots completely turn on you. So I think the pragmatic view would be Fraser's, which is, actually, you're getting a lot from this, and you know what, this is happening anyway, whether or not you're there or not, so better to be in the room. And you heard some members of the Green leadership saying that. But the risk is your grassroots and your membership, hence why they wanted to go to it, take the view of, you know, what is the point of existing if you're not actually pushing for your primary aim?
But they can do that, can't they, Katie, by being in opposition, albeit agreeing to keep Hamza Youssef in place if there's ever a confidence motion in the government. All they need to do is back him like once a year and they can spend the rest of the year slagging him off.
Yeah, and I think that is an option for them. But of course, at that point, some would say, well, you've just quit the government. You've lost all your negotiating power and you're still propping them up. What are you getting from that arrangement? So I think you moved from the logic of that position, you moved to one which is, well, that's just giving them support for free.
And Fraser, can you tell us a bit about the latest moving to Westminster politics with Rishi Sunak and what he's been saying on tax?
Well, he estimates that this weekend will be when people get their paychecks and we'll see an increase in their paychecks, because he's cut national insurance for the second time by 2p in the pound. And he's released a video where he's writing on a screen that it's worth £900 to the average taxpayer. Now, this is quite a sort of frustration to the Conservatives, because this is, you know, a significant cut in NI. So why are they still at 23%? In the polls? Why is Keir Starmer 20 points ahead? Why is none of this cutting through? I think the answer to that is that the tax cut is effectively fake. If you're a sort of medium to high earner, we're talking kind of like 35, 40, 50 grand, you will be getting a tax cut as a result of the NI increase, the decrease. But everybody else will have their tax going up because the thresholds have been frozen. So the stealth tax overall, it will take away people's pay packets way more than the NI adjustment is going to put back into them. So overall, this is a tax-raising Conservative government, which overall is making people worse off rather than better off. And overall, people are still finding the cost of government is one of the highest rising costs right now. So they're not getting political capital out of this because the tax cut isn't really real. And I can't quite work out why they would have thought otherwise. I think actually it's quite a healthy development that future governments will know that if you want to fake a tax cut rather than make one, then you won't get the political dividend that you seek.
Thank you, Fraser. Thank you, Katie. And thank you for listening.